All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Is this what we're going to keep doing from now on? You and snack food each and every week? Have we migrated from cookies at least this time?
Well, I have to say, I'm trying to eat healthier. So,
I'm laughing already.
The official snack of episode 53 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff is the Tostitos multi-grain tortilla chips. They have 0 grams of trans fat, and they have 4 wholesome grains in it.
And how many calories are they, sir, per serving?
Let's see. Serving size is 1 ounce, about 8 chips.
Okay.
There's about 9 servings per container.
Okay.
And total fat, 8 grams.
What about calories?
Calories, 150. Calories from fat, 70.
It's not terrible.
And let me tell you why I'm trying to eat a little healthier. One, because I should. And two, because I'm so inspired by our producer, the Muffin Man, Mr. Fantastic. We're opening tonight, I'm sure you're hearing the music, with Olivia Newton-John's Physical.
Aww.
From, was it, 80, 81?
Something like that.
In celebration of Mr. Fantastic's new do, and by new do we mean the old do, done up pretty tonight with a headband. You look like a muffin.
Thank you.
I don't mean it in a cute way. I mean like blueberry or corn.
Thank you.
He's all bright and cheery. He's humming along to the music as we start.
He is.
This thing's kind of itchy, I gotta be honest.
Yeah? Yeah. How long are you gonna keep it going?
Not much longer.
I figured as much.
All right, I have a question. I can't see below the fantastic nipples from where I'm seeing, so I have to ask.
What?
In addition to your headband, are you wearing leg warmers?
You know it.
Ew!
Fantastic how to complete the ensemble.
I really do kind of feel dirty now. You're not wearing a one-piece leotard, though, and that's good.
I feel like Arthur Ashe.
You have AIDS?
I was going to say we're going back to the black jokes again. Jeez.
What? I didn't say it. Yeah. Well, that half is really showing these days. Holy cow, that hair is retarded.
No, you know what's retarded?
What?
David Duchovny talking about X-Files 2.
Ooh.
That's what's retarded.
Ooh, a sequel. Ugh. Only, what's it been, 10 years?
Way too long. That's how long it's been. This has been a rumor that's been floating around pretty much since the first movie was made. I think they've been talking about a sequel, you know, more X-Files here and there. And David Duchovny recently again has brought up the possibility that maybe it will happen. And I say no. That, I think, needs to be done with. I don't know that him and what's her name, Scully, should take up their.
You don't know her name, do you?
Gillian Anderson, is that it?
That's good. See,
nice.
You should trust yourself. Yeah. You know these things.
You geek.
I am a geek.
So you're saying they shouldn't make it, or you don't think it will be made? What's going on here?
Yes.
Actually, yes. I don't think that it should be made, and I don't believe that it'll ever happen. I honestly think that it would be a huge financial risk for whatever studio
would
decided
be dumb
to
enough
take
to
it.
Put it out.
And I don't think that the following behind it would be strong enough to carry it through.
Yeah, you know what? You know, there's so much of this pop culture of the early 90s and 90s in particular that wants to make some kind of grand resurgence now. And the one that comes to mind to me that we've talked about in the past is things like Madman Comics and, you know, stuff like, I mean, all right, it was, you know what? It was great in its day, but it's had its day and it's time for us to move on from it. I mean, what possible angle could they take to make this movie a must-see for X-Files fans, which, by the way, I'm not one of?
I was an X-Files fan very early on in the series, like season one and two, maybe even parts of season three. After that, it seemed to get repetitive and slightly hokey.
That you either had the storyline episodes or you had the individual research into creepy thing episodes.
Right. Yeah.
And that was a fine formula. I just never got into it. I don't know why. I just never did.
You know, I had this really weird kind of bizarro once in a lifetime experience with that show. It was one of the only shows that I distinctly remember in that period of my life where me and my father would sit down in front of the television every Friday night to watch the new episode. We never really jived on what we both liked on television at the same time. You know,
you did this as opposed to dating.
How old was I when X-Files first 20? Came out? 20. Yeah. No. Was that grammar school? Sixth grade, maybe somewhere around there.
I think you were.
Are you insinuating they had to date his father?
I'm insinuating he had no sort of date whatsoever.
You know what? You shouldn't say that about Carmine.
Matt, it's funny you say that, though, because I had that same experience. Same experience.
Yeah.
That I watched it with my father, and he liked talking about it. He liked the experience of sitting down and watching it. And for some reason, I guess that subject matter just, you know, was well suited to that.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. And it's weird. My dad, not even close to geek anything. Nothing. No sci-fi, no horror, no fantasy. Yeah. To him, it's all just silly and dumb.
Likes The Sopranos,
loves
though, doesn't
The Sopranos.
He? Yeah, I bet he does.
That's racist.
No, it's not. It's Italians are not a race. So
I'm deeply offended.
Well, you're half black. So Namor will be making his great return to comics, or the Submariner, if you like. He is Marvel's first original character, having appeared in Marvel Comics number 1 back in 1939.
Wow.
And he's coming back. You know, he's been kind of a perennial character throughout the years, and he comes and he goes and so on and so forth. He's kind of like a cool Aquaman, for those of you that don't know, an Aquaman with balls. And he's
and two hands still.
Right, and he played a part in Civil War, and because of that, I guess Marvel feels like it's time to bring back yet another Submariner miniseries or ongoing series or something. I just think it's time to just... I mean, why is it every time we resurface a character, they instantly have to get their own series and their own, be it ongoing or what have you? Why? Why now?
I don't know.
I mean, the last bunch of series that starred him were, in a word, crap.
Right.
So why on earth would they try to bring him back now? Is it because he was part of Civil War and so let's, you know, drum up as much as we can with regards to Civil War? I mean,
I don't know. He seems like the kind of character that never sells well by himself. You know, maybe as part of a bigger storyline or as part of some sort of group or something like that. He seems to have a home. He works in certain storylines. But as far as by himself, you don't find a bunch of people running around telling you that, you know, they're just a Submariner fan.
Right. They tried to bring him around, like, in the 90s, didn't they, with his own series, him screaming out of the water. And I know, I remember I went nuts over that, bought, like, a million copies of the first issue, and it sucked. It was like corporate Namor.
Didn't go anywhere.
He disappeared, like, in a second.
And, you know, again, they're fencing this out to a bunch of guys without a lot of credits. Peter Johnson and Matt Chernis will be writing.
Right.
And artist Phil Briones or something.
I don't know who he is.
I don't know. Nobody I've heard of. And I'm sure we're going to get emails. I'm sure we're going to get emails that he did this and he did this and you like this and you like that and blah, 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 blah.
To which I will respond, I don't care.
And, of course, there'll be a Michael Turner cover for number one, which probably will be the alternate cover, one in 20 copies, blah, blah,
well, isn't
blah.
Fathom kind of like a female version of the Submariner?
I don't know. Why? Because she's underwater? I don't know. I never read Fathom.
I never read Fathom either.
But, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I guess Namor's coming back.
Woo!
Yay.
Speaking
and
about...
the crowd goes mild.
Yeah. Speaking of going mild, some rumors floating around the UK. Goddamn Brits. Is that Brett Ratner will be the one that will be directing the Wolverine film.
Oh!
I think that this is a huge, huge, huge rumor. I don't think that there's any truth to this. I can't foresee anybody agreeing to have that go forward. Hugh Jackman.
I can think of one person who'd like it to go forward.
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner.
Yeah. I can't imagine Hugh Jackman allowing that to happen. Hugh Jackman, who has a lot invested in this movie, who wants to be very closely related to the production of this movie, the writing of the movie.
I believe he's one of the producers.
He is. I can't imagine that he would allow Brett Ratner, who if you ask almost any comic book fan, would tell you has killed the X-Men franchise, have anything to do with another X-Men film. So I'm hoping that it's just some sort of silly, misbegotten UK rumor.
Some exciting products coming from DC Direct in November have been solicited.
Okay.
And a couple of them we want to point out. The Batman black and white statue by Jim Lee.
Wowzer, is that a beautiful looking piece.
Yes. To continue along with their series of black and white statues, Jim Lee's interpretation will be coming in November. And in addition to that, actually, I should say that last week, the Matt Wagner Batman black and white came out. Awesome.
Also very pretty.
And he's right here in the on display in the studio.
He is.
Along with the rest of the Batman black and white statues. And also coming in November will be another 13-inch deluxe collector Batman figure.
Right.
This time featuring the blue and gray costume.
Okay.
He's 1/6 scale. Authentically detailed fabric costume, has accessories, a display stand, and so on and so forth. And actually, if you also look in the same display as the Batman black and whites, you'll find the black and gray version of this figure that's already out that I think is great. I don't understand the release of the blue and gray version without doing other characters, but
it's a Batman thing.
And speaking of Bat characters, the Batgirl 13-inch deluxe collector figure will be offered in both versions. Her authentically detailed gray fabric costume with accessories and so on and so forth. And the variant version will be clothed in the black costume and come with accessories and a display stand. And it'll just be lovely.
Huh.
Yes. It's very interesting.
Oscar winner. A new Oscar winner, I should say, newly Oscar winner Helen Mirren is going to be jumping to the silver screen in the, is it the silver screen still? It's still the silver screen.
It's a screen.
It's a screen. It's large. I don't know if it's silver.
It's the silver screen.
In National Treasure, Book of Secrets, the sequel to the 2004 hit, if you want to call it that. Returning naturally will be Nick Cage. John Voight will be returning. Diane Kruger, Justin Bartha, and Harvey Keitel have signed on. John Turteltaub is returning as director, and Bruckheimer is returning as producer. Now, I have not seen the original National Treasure. I have this problem with Nicolas Cage insofar as I mostly hate him. I've heard the film is fantastic. I probably will see it at some point in time.
I don't know that I would go so far as to say fantastic. But I will say that it was interesting.
Okay. Fun, maybe?
Yeah, fun. You know, kind of a running around the globe kind of thing. But you know, it's kind of Indiana Jones in nature.
Okay.
For those of us with a hatred of Nick Cage, is it the type of film you can see past your despisiness of Nick?
Well, one would hope that you would want to see past anyone's bad performance in any film in order to get the story in the film. I mean, Ghost Rider certainly was Nick Cage, but I'd still like to see it at some point.
Yeah, but I'd like to see that for different reasons. You know, Nick Cage as the star, that's really where my hang-up is, I think.
Okay.
Nick Cage in the film doesn't necessarily kill it for me. Him as the star hurts me a little.
Following up on the success of Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness, which is interesting because issue 2 has only come out last week.
Okay.
But apparently Marvel is declaring it a success.
Okay.
Interesting. Marvel and Dynamite are going to join forces and do another crossover book.
Uh-oh.
Sit down. How about Spider-Man Red Sonja?
Oh. Oh, God.
What makes this even worse is that we actually like the writer.
Who's the writer?
Mike Oeming.
What is Mike thinking? Is he desperate?
I don't know.
Do more powers.
And of course, Michael Turner, the cover whore, will be doing covers. A 5-issue limited series will begin in August. I don't know. Maybe Mike has a great angle. I don't know.
This brings us back to that discussion we had. We had a discussion many episodes back about Red Sonja and all the product and all the brouhaha surrounding her coming back and all this stuff. And still, I just don't care about her as a character.
Last week, Savage Tales featuring Red Sonja, issue number 1.
God.
Came out. So I don't know. Maybe it's not our cup of tea,
but perhaps
somebody else is enjoying it. However, meeting up with Spider-Man, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's Brigitte Nielsen's last-ditch effort to hook up with Tobey Maguire, I think.
It's frightening on a lot of fronts.
On so many. But while we're talking about Spider-Man, we might as well talk about Spider-Man 4. This past week, both Kirsten Dunst, told Fivehead, and Tobey Maguire has come out and said that if Sam Raimi should decide to do a fourth film and the storyline was appropriate, that both of them would return to do a fourth film. Now, Avi Arad at Marvel has said that he is interested in pursuing the franchise no matter who or who is not interested. Obviously, the franchise is very big for Marvel. And Sony,
the only one they have that's big anymore.
And so even if Toby doesn't return, they still want to pursue it. Sam Raimi has certainly expressed interest in continuing it, provided that he can come up with a really powerful, strong story. And I think with a character like Spider-Man, you have the potential to have more stories. They just have to be treated properly. And I think Sam has done good so far. So, I mean, if they do a fourth one, I'd like to see the original, you know, actors continue their roles, but I'm not holding my breath waiting to see it happen.
Isn't there strife right and left between Maguire and Dunst, too? Don't they, the two of them hate each other, don't they?
Really? I've never heard that.
Yeah, because they had a bad breakup. I think they started dating sometime shortly after or during Spider-Man 1.
They weren't dating. She was dating the other Maguire. The other...
Mark?
No. No, the other Tobey Maguire. What's his name?
Jake Gyllenhaal?
She was dating Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm almost positive she was with Toby at one point in time and they had a breakup.
No, sir.
Okay, well, if someone out there knows for sure, let us know.
There'll be some email. I've never heard
about them having friction. I mean, it could well be. I've just never heard it. But it was definitely Jake Gyllenhaal that she was dating.
I was almost positive that there was some Toby action going on. Actually, fantastic. If you could look that up while we're working over here and let us know. Put that muffin to work.
I'll tell you why. Because when Toby hurt his back before 2, and there was all those rumors that he wasn't going to do it, she offered up Gyllenhaal as his replacement.
Oh, sure. And that was a rumor for a long time.
Yeah, but she was pushing really hard for it because they were dating at the time.
Okay.
I'm right. You'll see.
I don't doubt you.
Well, you shouldn't.
But I do doubt you because I'm almost positive they were dating in some capacity.
Nope. No way.
On the uber rumor mill... and I really think that this was an April Fool's joke because I read this on the first.
The Uber mill.
Yeah. There was an article I read online involving a rumor. I'm calling it a rumor that Paris Hilton was going to be cast in the role of Supergirl in the upcoming Warner Brothers Supergirl film. It's got to be a rumor.
Got to be. There's no way.
The quote that was in it, that was in the article, was from Warner Brothers saying, "She surprised us all. Her audition was dead on what we were looking for. She's going to be a great asset to the film, and the fact that she is well known already won't hurt."
What were they looking for? A whore?
I guess.
Like that that gives head pretty well.
I don't know.
I don't know. That doesn't make any noise when she's having sex. Like, what exactly were they looking for? Because I'm going over her credentials.
Right.
And as far as I know, I can think of really two films that kind of stand out. And one is the one we've all seen with her and that dude.
Right.
And it's kind of night shot and stuff. And the other one is House of Wax.
Right.
And she didn't really do nothing at all in that film. I actually liked her performance much better in One Night in Paris than I did in House of Wax.
Like I said, I think it's really just a rumor, but...
You read that on the first, you said?
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
It's got to be an April Fool's joke is what I'm thinking.
Could be. Let's talk about a couple of book releases this week.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of DVDs, so I'm gonna switch to books this week. It's not a lot of geek interest. Last week... The Dragon Pool by Christopher Golden is a new Hellboy novel.
Okay.
Not a comic book. Talks about Hellboy in the Himalayas and all sorts of fun and excitement there. Ooda Lolly. Can't wait to read it. Also coming out in the comic realm from AKA Comics, which you could check out at akacomics.com. Issue 1 of Stickman.
Yeah.
This is an obscure little book.
I have been sort of following Stickman since Wizard Philly last year. I was walking around Artist Alley, generally unimpressed, and I came across this huge poster of this badass looking pirate. You know, he was like, he had a skeleton head and he was wearing this long red coat and he had the badass looking cutlass. And I stopped naturally at the table and I was like, what the hell is this about? And this woman tried to give me the whole spiel and they put me on the mailing list. And so I get the emails every once in a while to remind me that Stickman is coming out and all the Stickman news. And I don't know, it seems kind of quirky and it could be interesting, I guess, kind of funny. I haven't read the first issue yet, but I'll be interested to see it at least.
Give it a read through. That character's called Jolly Roger.
Of course he is.
And he's, I guess he's the big baddie in this one.
Right.
Haven't read it yet. Full color. Kind of quirky story-wise. The art is, it's okay.
Oh, I kind of like the art.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I didn't say it sucked. I said it was okay.
All right.
Motherfucker. God.
God damn it.
Also, in comics, Fallen Son, The Death of Captain America, Issue 1 Wolverine came out.
Ooh.
Written by Jeff Loeb and illustrated by Lineal Yu.
Ah.
Not Lineal Me, but Lineal Yu.
Brum-ts.
And it was a pretty good read. What can I say? I wanted to hate this book, and I just really can't.
So for all you people out there, I'd like you to mark this date and time stamp down in your books. Kevin enjoyed a Marvel book this week.
I did.
It's rare.
Well, okay. Now, you may be pushing it a tad too far. Enjoy. I don't know. I got through it. I appreciated what they were trying to do with it. And I thought it was illustrated very well. Daredevil is in it, plays a prominent role. And Winter Soldier a little bit. And it's, you know, it was very good. I do love also the new ad campaign that's appearing on the back of most of the Marvel books,
which is
"Where were you when Captain America died?"
Where was I?
Somehow equating the death of Captain America to the death of John F. Kennedy. I just think that may be pushing it a little much. But what do I know? Anyway, this is the first of five, as we mentioned last week. I don't know if this is coming weekly now or monthly, but the next one, whenever it comes, will be Fallen Son Avengers, followed by Captain America, Spider-Man, and Iron Man. So,
okay,
that's what we have to look forward to. Not a bad bit. And something I'm very excited about.
Right.
Doo-doo-doo. Mars Needs Moms.
Oh, it was very cute.
By Berkeley. Now, there's always... there's always a question as to how this is pronounced.
Okay.
Berkeley breathed or breathed or breathed
or breathed
or breathed. For those of you that don't know, this man whose name we can't, let's say Berkeley.
Smith.
Berkeley created Bloom County and Opus.
A fun-loving
yes. And penguin. His new book is about moms being taken away by aliens, by Martians. Okay. It's a great illustrated kids book, obviously, and hardbound, just came out, brilliantly beautiful illustrations, and they're all types, too. There's pen and ink, there's some computer-generated stuff, there's just some plain drawings. Fantastic, fantastic book. Comes to us from Philomeal Books, which is a division of Penguin Young Readers Group.
Ah,
for those of you that don't know.
Right.
So you know how to go and get it now. It's called Mars Needs Moms. And the main character is actually based on his son.
Milo. It was very cute. It was a cute read. Quick read, you know.
Very nice.
You do have one DVD over there, don't you, this week? Why don't we go through that real quick?
I say that there's very little to nothing geek related on DVD this week.
Right.
So I tried to reach and pick one, and I'll tell you why I picked it. In a minute. It's Black Christmas. I've gotten the unrated edition.
Right.
It's a remake of a film, I guess, in the 70s, right?
74, I believe, was the original.
And no one really cares what it's about. It's a slasher movie. There's hot chicks in it.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Oh,
but
that's a good tie into tonight, then. Excellent.
It is?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Oh, okay. The notable reason for picking it up, besides the fact that it's unrated, is the fact that two of the hot chicks in it are Michelle Trachtenberg and Lacey Chabert.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm telling you, Michelle Trachtenberg is hot.
Lacey's legal now, too, right?
Yes, I believe they both are.
Oh, okay.
Black Christmas unrated on DVD this week, last week. Last week, this week. This week on the show, last week on...
Something like that.
I don't know.
Well, I actually have some DVD news. I normally don't bring the DVD news to us, but since this isn't out yet and it's coming out soon, May 29th of this year, the Superman Ultimate Collector's Edition will again be available to the public. Suggested retail price of $99.99. For those of you that don't know, when this was first released, this set, there were some issues with... There were some issues with a couple of the DVDs. I think most notably it was Movie 2. They put the wrong disc in the set. They had intended to put the special edition of the movie and the director's cut of the movie in there, I believe, and did not. They put in the... already released, been around for a long time version of the movie in the set. And they had a program where you could take that disc out of the set, mail it in. They would mail you a new one. But the sets disappeared off the shelves. One or two shipments to the stores and then gone. Why it's taken them some 5 or 6 months to correct the problem is beyond me.
We may never know.
But it looks like finally, for those of you who are interested in owning this set, you will be available or will be available again in May of this
year. It's a good set, too. I picked this up for my dad for Christmas, and it's loaded with everything Superman up to this point as far as the movies go, you know, including the Superman Returns film, too, for those that really care about that one.
Did you mail away the disc and get the replacement?
Well, I gave him the... Now, I bought it around Christmas time.
Right.
Found it in a Costco, actually, for a good price. But I'm not sure that he's opened this set yet since Christmas. So this news that I'm hearing tonight from you, I got to give him a call tonight and see what the story is with that disc.
You should look and see if the offer is still going on. I'm guessing if you go to Warner Brothers' website, maybe Warner Brothers has a DVD section on their website, there's probably information about it. If not, you know, you can always pull the old bait and switch.
There you go.
There is that option.
That's illegal.
Not necessarily.
You're suggesting that Ken do something illegal.
No, I would never suggest any such thing.
Bait and switch is a term that
criminals use. Illegal advertising term. It looks like Warner Brothers is going to be doing a Metal Man movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Lauren Shuler, Donner, and Jeff Johns will be producing the film. Eric Ciampanella will write the film. And, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with him, he wrote Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac.
Oh, see,
so that's a problem.
Now, is that all that he wrote?
I don't know. That's what I know.
Fantastic.
Off the top of my head.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because, now I'm already getting disappointed. I happen to be a big fan of the Metal Man.
I know you are.
Fantastic. Could you look up the guy that wrote Mr. 3000? And please, for the love of God, tell us that he wrote something else.
Transfer complete.
All right. We have Eric Campanella, or Champanella with a CH.
I think it's Camp. Probably.
Okay. Mr. 3000 in the year 2004. And then going in reverse order, his writing credits are The Old Man in the Studio, Mail to the Chief in 2000, and 1996's Eddie.
The Whoopi Goldberg movie?
Anything else? Can't get much worse than that.
He was also, he played the character of Stan in the 1997 version of McHale's Navy.
He was in it?
So it says.
Okay.
And Bubba in The Invisible Maniac.
Whew.
That was in 1990, and The Invisible Maniac has the alternate title of The Invisible Sex Maniac.
Wow.
Are you finding comfort in this, Kevin?
This gives me so much hope for the Metal Men movie. I can't imagine why on earth I would be upset or disappointed by this news.
So we can go back and say you were a big fan of the Metal Men, yes?
I still am a big fan of the Metal Men. I'm going to let them fail before I,
And lastly, he has the meager bit of trivia that he attended the University of Michigan, and then the rest of the page is like an error.
Good.
It's like... Errored.
That says something.
Nice.
All right. So let's move away from that because there's not much there. Adam Sandler has recently sold his soul to Disney as far as films go. He's going to be doing a film, a live action film called Bedtime Stories, in which he will play a harried real estate developer whose life is turned upside down when the lavish bedtime stories he tells his niece and nephew begin to come true. He's going to get to play a regular guy in a knight in shining armor and blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Oh, very exciting.
I guess my problem with... I like Adam Sandler. I like Disney. The concept, though, seems hokey, seems redundant. Seen it before, wasn't interested in it then.
There's a zippity-whoopity-doo joke in here somewhere.
Hey, have you guys checked out the multigrain Tostitos?
No, I haven't checked out the multigrain Tostitos, Kevin.
Well, you have anything else over there?
I do. I have a couple more things, but I'm actually going to give it over now to Ken, who is with us in studio tonight, who is going to talk to us about a video that has been floating around online, has made waves throughout the geek community. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people who listen to this show, I know, not such big fans of it. So, go for it.
Had better be better than that last story. And
as a Muppet fan, I love it and hate it, if that's possible.
Okay.
I was floating around I was actually on MySpace the other day, and I found a video for something called Sad Kermit.
Yes.
MySpace.com/Sad Kermit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the most twisted Muppet things I've ever seen in my life, and I love that, but it's so disturbing. The video that they finally put together is so very disturbing. It involves Kermit, juicing up with some heroin, doing very naughty things to a photo of Miss Piggy, and it's all to the tune of Hurt. It's Kermit singing the Johnny Cash version of Trent Reznor's Hurt.
Hurt. Yes.
I discovered this, and if you look at their site, the Sad Kermit site, they've this video was new with Hurt, but before that, they've actually put together I think the first thing they did was something they call Rainbow Disconnection.
Right.
And it's Rainbow Connection but done in a minor key and very dreary sounding.
Right.
And then after that they did Radiohead's Creep, which is wonderful in its own, just to hear a Muppet say, "You're so fucking special." I love it. But the premise is that after Jim Henson's very, very sad and untimely passing. Yes. Kermit turned to a life of drugs and depression, and this is the end result.
It's like a Muppet's Elseworld.
Yeah. You know, it's like a companion piece to that robot chicken behind the music with with Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. You know, it's like the same kind of, like, in the same vein, you know, like in that particular sketch, they put Animal down.
Right.
For biting someone.
Rah.
So it's really disturbing. But somehow, as a Muppet fan, there's some sort of twisted appreciation that goes along with it. And it's just a great example of this, you know, of these videos, of these original creator videos taking over.
They're not bad videos. I mean, they're pretty well produced. They definitely have some crane action and whatnot. For the camera work is nice. They got the set design with the candles. It looks like it's a legit music video. And the dude actually does a pretty good Kermit too.
I was gonna say he sounds pretty good. And actually, I'm impressed with whatever he's using as Kermit. Like, it doesn't look like it's an actual Muppet because it doesn't have the hand stems or anything
I mean, it seems like they've got makeshift hand stems or something in there. I'm really curious to find out if they made this themselves, if there was a Kermit hand puppet many years ago maybe that we missed.
My guess, I had to take a stab at it, would be...
they made one a long time ago.
Honestly, though, this doesn't look like a hand puppet, and the quality on it looks really, really high. If I had to take a guess, a random shot in the dark, I would say that this is that Master Replicas Kermit piece that they put out, the one that's posable and supposed to be used for photos and stuff like
could
that.
Could be in some
not
of the shots.
Not a puppet, though.
He's a little flimsy looking to be that, I think,
Does the mouth move on that Master Replicas?
No, there's no puppet action on him at all. No,
well, no, but the hands can move and be posed. So I thought they could have just adjusted him, but you're right, the mouth doesn't work. So I guess that kind of shoots that down. So maybe it was, I don't know.
For this very purpose, I'm sure, that the Master Replicas is not functional.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, actually, I think that was a licensing thing. I don't think they're allowed to make a functioning...
They've done a Kermit puppet, though.
A puppet, but not a... But there's... Yeah, but I think it was like half body, right? It wasn't full body, was it?
Full body.
Oh, okay. New York City's mayor, Mr. Bloomberg, is denouncing the next version of Grand Theft Auto.
And I thought Giuliani was the mayor.
Wait, all day to say that, haven't you? Giuliani.
You see his face? He was like, huh? Yeah, I heard about this too.
Because he's saying that despite the fact that the game is set in fictional Liberty City,
right,
for those of you who are Grand Theft Auto fans, it has very distinctive, specific New York City landmarks placed throughout the city. The Statue of Liberty, Coney Island Cyclone, the Brooklyn Bridge, and I think there are a few others in there too.
I don't recall if it was the Statue of Liberty itself, but...
Okay.
The city itself of Liberty City is modeled after New York.
Right.
That much is true.
Sure.
So, you know, whatever he says does apply, but who the hell cares? They're going to make the game anyway.
Of course.
It's going to be a really good game where you can't aim the cursor and actually shoot at anybody with any level of proficiency, but it's a good game.
It is. And there's one thing that really made me laugh when I was reading this. City Council member Peter Vallone made a quote in regards to this whole bit with Bloomberg, and he said, setting a video game like this in the safest city in America would be like setting Halo in Disneyland.
Which would probably be a pretty good mod when you think about it.
I'd play.
Wait a minute. New York is now the safest city in America?
I guess.
Really?
According to City Council member Vallone, it is.
I always thought Springfield was the safest city.
Which Springfield? Homer Springfield?
Uh-huh.
Springfield, USA.
No,
yes.
That's just another dumb comment by some politician trying to act like he knows what he's talking about.
Halo set in Disney World?
That'd be awesome.
It'd be weird.
So there were no geeks in the audience because nobody had to explain to him Halo can only be set on Halo.
Right. No one was there to explain.
I don't think he played.
Probably not.
Let's take a break.
Let's.
And enjoy some multi-grain Tostitos tortilla chips.
No.
They have 0 grams of trans fat. Just Just want to say that. Did you know that you can advertise with Big Kev's Geek Stuff and reach tens of thousands of people a day?
Actually, Kev, it's over 10,000 people a month.
And that your advertisement can be seen on our home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, by literally millions of people.
Not quite that much, Kev.
And did you know that we have advertising packages available for every budget, even if you got only a penny?
There's no penny advertising plans, Kev.
Do I know anything about advertising?
Not at all.
On Kev. This show? Well, maybe you should tell us more about it.
For more information on advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link, or shoot us an email at BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
We Spartans have ascended from Hercules himself. Taught never to retreat, never to surrender. Taught that death in the battlefield is the greatest glory he could achieve in his life. Spartans, the finest soldiers the world has ever known.
This is David Wenham from 300.
Hey, this is Gerard Butler from Frank Miller's 300.
Hey, this is Zack Snyder from 300, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
This is Sparta!
And we're back with episode 53, Physical.
And Tostito free.
Yes, we've put the Tostitos away.
Thank God.
Multigrain Tostitos. Four delicious grains in every chip. 0 grams of trans fat.
You know, this ugly doll has 0 grams of trans fat, Kev.
That's your transition?
That's my transition. Now to get the show rolling.
Now go ahead and eat them.
Hold on.
We're talking tonight. We just want to do a quick bit on Ugly Dolls.
Yeah.
Ugly Dolls is a series of designer toys that were created when, I guess, in 2002. I guess we've been covering these for a while.
The tag says 2003. Pretty Ugly LLC.
Well, I think the first ones were released in 2002. Yeah. And they were created by David Horvath and Kim Sun-min. Kim Sun-min.
I don't know that guy, but David's a swell guy.
I know. David's a great guy. We saw him at...
at Toy Fair past year.
In fact, he signed one of the ugly dolls for me. It's right over there.
He did. It's true.
And so we wanted to take time out to talk about these really quickly because they're just really neat.
You know what? David, who, if you've ever been to his website, he's got a bunch of stuff that he does, not just these ugly dolls. He does a bunch of art with concept and characters that are similar to the ugly dolls. And, you know, he's the whole thing about these is that the character concepts are just, they're just interesting. You know what I mean? Just original. And it's still a breath of fresh air when you see these original products like this.
Right.
Are these guys ugly just for the sake of being ugly, or they actually have a storyline surrounding these characters that are in front of us here?
I don't know that. Well, they all have little characters, and they all have I guess some sort of little relationships with each other. But there's not like any hardline story to them or anything like that. I think what they are is just simple designs. They use some really quality fabrics. They're right. Very soft. They're very
plush,
very malleable, very plush. The designs are very simple. Very simplistic. These are the kind of specialty toys that you're going to give to young kids, and they're safe for all ages. They have absolutely no sort of issues regarding age. And what's great about them also is this is a toy that the child can grow with. You can stick one of these in the crib and you know, you can tell the child its name, and then the child can grow and try to say the name, and then when the child gets old enough, you can say, well, you know, this particular character, whoever it might be, is, you know, he has a little story that goes along sure. with him, like Ugly Dog, you know, for example, is one of the ones we have in the studio tonight. Ugly Dog does not like to beg, sit, or stay,
okay.
you know, so he's just kind of, you know, he's kind of out there. He likes to help Ugly Dog. He helps Jiro operate the rope tow and helps Ox help himself to different types of snack foods.
There you go.
So they all have little cards, and they explain in there the relation
to the other characters. There you go. So, yeah, I mean, they're really kind of cute. Again, really great original concepts. And, you know, it's not just kids that are digging these. I mean, I see a lot of, you know, I see a lot of...
Goth girls.
Yeah, well, it kind of caters to that crowd, not just right. goth girls, but just that kind of culture. You know, you'll see these
that
things
Hot in, Topic.
Yeah,
culture.
You'll see them in Spencer and Hot Topics. But places like FAO Schwartz sells them also. So that's pretty much the spectrum there. You know, Hot Topic and FAO Schwartz are about as far as part as you can get.
Ugly Dolls are not emo, I hope, right?
I don't think emo, no.
I don't think
they're... I would say definitely more in the goth category.
I don't think they're intended to be, although I could see, you know, maybe there being some sort of interest between, you know, in that subculture. But
they're very durable. They're uh-huh. very... The stuffing inside is very good, and it's a quality product. And like I said, I think what's great about this is that this is one of those kids... You know, you give a kid a... teddy bear and has plastic eyes and, you know, loose parts and things.
Right.
These things all come off eventually. They're not made, a lot of them, from great material. So, of course, over due time, they have problems and they come apart and they tear. I don't think you're going to have any of those problems with these Ugly Dolls.
No, I don't think so either.
On top of that, I mean, they've been featured in a couple of different things. They're going to be featured in some movie upcoming, in the background of some
oh, really?
Movie that's upcoming. I don't remember what it is exactly.
Huh.
Something I thought that would be fairly popular, but I don't remember what. But I think these are becoming very popular, like you said, with that culture. And what's interesting about that is that they cross all those boundaries. And they're not only doing the plush that we've said about. I mean, they have a whole series of characters that they're doing, but in addition to that, they're doing 12-inch plush, which is I think what we have in the studio here.
Uh-huh.
They're doing seven-inch Little Uglies,
right?
They're doing 24-inch Giant Uglies,
right?
Which are just humongous.
Giguntus.
Yes, 4-inch plush keychains. And 7-inch vinyl Uglies are also floating around out there.
Just so you know, some of those movies you were talking about, Ice Bat appeared in Sathora, Ox appeared in Yours, Mine, and Ours, and Ice Bat also appeared in an episode of Entourage, the episode where they're at San Diego Comic-Con.
Right.
And also, which I just found out, and I didn't know this, that December 9th, 2006, at Giant Robot 2 in Los Angeles, there was the first Ugly Doll convention called UglyCon.
Interesting.
With two limited edition pieces. One was limited to 100 pieces. One was limited to 50 pieces. So they really have a pretty strong following, a good fan base, and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Go over to uglydolls.com, and you can actually... check them all out, all the characters and stuff. They also tell you where over there that you can order them.
Oh, excellent.
As well.
Excellent.
So if you like any of these, you know anybody with kids.
Right.
You know, little kids, like babies and stuff. This is the kind of thing you can stick in with a baby. It's fine. It's going to grow up.
Oh, sure.
You know somebody with a goth kid doesn't know what to get them. Try this.
Try
these
ugly
things. Try the Ugly Dolls. And I'm sure they're available in... specialty stores all around the country.
It's true.
And once again, it's uglydoll.com. Check them out.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff. Or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKevsGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes Store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, this is Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Again, huh?
I threw it out there. You said it was a good idea. Fantastic agreed. So we did it.
Fantastic agreed with you while mocking me.
No, but seriously, the people love it.
Do they?
Yeah, I screened it. They love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Let's do it then.
Who did you screen?
You know, some people I know.
People that listen to
the show. I said, hey, listen to this.
One guy in your office.
Well, there is that one dude that hates you, but...
No, that was a chick.
Oh, no, there's she a dude, me? Isn't there, too? There's a chick that listens to O&A that hates him.
Okay, well, if we're going to make a list...
But isn't there a dude, too?
There's a guy who hates the logo, and every time
he
visits the page, he sends me an email and says, when are you going to change this logo? And I'm like, listen, man.
The answer is when he calms the fuck down.
It's not my call. There is another guy who does not like you. And then there was...
Are we really going to spend the next 20 minutes of this program?
I told you there was the woman who said she hates you. But I'm sorry, we could keep
he
going.
He digresses. Let's get on with what we're talking about here in this segment, Geek Stuff, episode 53, Physical.
And if it's any consolation, Physical. I like you. Kind of.
He's a gem.
What do we got here? Who are the bitches?
Well, I think... We're going off the list that we had last week. Former child stars of the 80s who
right.
grew up to be
hot. Hotties. Yeah.
Right. And so we said, well, we should do a geek sort of list like that.
Right.
With geeks from TV.
Right.
So I don't put them in any particular order.
And neither
I think,
did I.
I think the way we should do this is we should go one for one.
Okay.
And see who's more original. And
now, if we have ones that are the same, how is more original?
So he's already,
you're setting me up to shit on me.
He's already
know?
Molding the rules so he can win in some way. So very quickly, the ground rules here are you must pick your bitch from a TV show or made-for-TV
bitch.
Movie.
Bitch.
What? I love it.
You have
good.
No respect for women at all whatsoever, do you?
Not
except
actresses,
Olivia Newton-John.
Really. Not actresses who do well and become famous. Because
fair enough,
you can't score with them. This is the angle that he was working last week, remember?
Okay.
Because of the drugs,
now,
and Jodie Sweetin's been a little down and out, so he feels maybe he could turn the corner.
Well, I have a question for you.
What
it, happens
Matt?
if we have the same person on our lists, but they don't come up in the same spot? Does that have any effect,
now,
or
we're
how
not
does
doing
that happen?
Well, we're not doing
okay,
spots.
So if he should say something and I have him on my list, should I say, oh, I also have her on my list, and then it becomes moot? Is that what happens? That one's it's a wash?
I say it's you go, and then he responds, and then he goes, and then you respond, and if we deem it to be a tie or the same person, Rochambeau.
I'm all for Rochambeau.
All right.
Yeah, no, that sounds fine. I don't care.
Okay. It's more to just get the women out there.
Right.
right. than to it's see
not,
who wins.
It's not
that's
a competition,
perk,
Matt.
Right.
Everything with you is a competition.
With me.
Why
with
can't
me
it just be a friendly, we're comparing notes, you know?
You don't know friendly.
Okay. All right.
You go.
See how I get treated?
Hey,
this
Kev.
Everyone wonders.
How about you go first and tell me about your, what is this, hot geek TV woman?
Number one hottie.
Did
or,
we,
or the first hottie on your list.
We didn't really decide on a list. It's just like hot TV geek chicks.
Chicks, pretty much.
Oh, well, there's a name then, isn't it?
Hot TV geek chicks?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, my first one is from the TV show Heroes, and it's Hayden Panettiere.
Wow, really? He comes out of the gate swinging.
See, now I don't think she's that hot.
Why? Are you gay?
No, I just don't think she's that hot.
She's hot.
She's got a big forehead. She almost has that Kirsten Dunst going.
What is your obsession with people's foreheads?
I don't know. It just looks, it doesn't look
Is it because you have a giant forehead?
That's because I'm going bald. No. I don't know. It just looks out of proportion. I just don't think she's that hot. It's my am I entitled to my opinion? Am I allowed
you are
to speak
entitled.
My opinion?
You are entitled.
I don't think so. She turns 18 this August.
Oh, great. So we're
by
we're,
the way.
Good.
So what I'll say is I'll can this and then August, when's her birthday?
I don't know.
All right. Well, August, whatever her birthday is, the day after that, you can play this. But Matt, she is hot and I do her. And so should you.
Hey, listen.
I don't concur.
First of all, she's from New York State, and 17 is legal in New York.
I like to play it safe. Let's put it
all
that
right.
Way.
I hear you.
I do not concur. I don't find her. I don't think she's ugly. I just don't think that she's uber hot.
And who do you okay. who do you go who do you put to go?
Who do you have?
Well, we're not putting them against each other.
I
we're
know,
just
but...
going with the first person on my list. So I picked someone who currently is on Stargate Atlantis, as well as another show that I'm very fond of, Jewel State.
I too chose Jewel State.
I see.
And what shows has she been on?
I'm not saying it.
Now, my question about Jewel State, and I know that I've asked this one before. Let me take these off. I can't hear. Is that Jewel State, to me, was noticeably thinner.
She was.
In her on-screen, big-screen debut.
Yes.
For the Serenity movie.
Oh, I know the answer.
My question is, no, this isn't trivia. This is your opinion. Do you think she was hotter in the made-for-television Serenity show? Or the Serenity movie?
Well, the Serenity show, fantastic, because you work on a geek program, was called Firefly. Somebody's too afraid to say it around here. I don't know why. But, and I think she was hot both in the TV show and in the feature film Serenity.
That's a cop out, but
unlike
all right.
Ken,
it is
I am
not
comfortable in giving my answer.
Right.
I think that she was much more attractive on the television show than she was in the movie, but I thought she was hot nonetheless. Oh, but what, I am comfortable in giving an answer one way or the other.
What show is that?
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Take the sky from me.
Good. There it is. You happy? You bringing
nice.
The bit back?
Good. Well, I have to go. I have to go with Matt on this one. I think she was hotter in the TV show, but still irrefutably hot in the movie as well.
Right.
What else
you
do you
have to
have,
go with Matt,
kid?
Even though I said she was hot in both, which means technically you're agreeing with me too, jerk off.
You know what? Technically, I think you're right. Write that down, Ken.
I'm ready.
Technically, you should go.
I am choosing next on my list, Trisha Helfer.
Ooh!
From Battlestar Galactica.
She was actually next on my list as well.
No, really?
It's true.
Now, here's where I'm useless.
Okay.
Here's where I'm useless.
Here.
Okay.
Here on the show.
I don't know her.
She is Cylon number 6.
I'll look her up while you...
She's, well, actually, the fans at home, if you're listening to the show on your picture iPod, you can see
or on QuickTime or
picture of her right now, or you can check it out at the photo gallery, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can check out a picture of Trisha from the show, and right now, the hot picture of her comes up. Yeah, there she is. Hubba Hubba.
She did a spread in Playboy.
Did she ever?
She did a spread in Maxim. And she is a smoking, smoking geek hottie.
Yes, very true.
All right, I've seen the picture. She is hot. She's a little light up top for me, if you know what I mean. I like my woman to be evened out.
Okay.
You know, have something upstairs as well as downstairs. And always. I'm not talking about the brain.
Yeah, obviously.
I think that she's very well in proportion for her figure, actually.
All right, well, still hot. But
definitely still hot, yeah. So we agree on her.
Right, we do.
So I go next now?
Yes, you do.
I had one Evangeline Lilly, Kate, ooh, from Lost.
I have her as well.
This is... Okay. Wow.
And now we really honestly did make these lists completely independent
completely
of each other.
Completely independently so, of each
this
other.
This is just happening.
It's right. You weren't in a public bathroom in separate stalls yelling over the wall.
No, I did ask him to spare a square, though. And there was not a square to spare.
Evangeline Lilly, I think, is very attractive. Plays an interesting character to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Can be very hot, especially when wet.
Married to a hobbit.
Which, oh, she's married to Dominic Monaghan,
Billy,
right?
Dominic Monaghan or Billy Boyd?
The one in, that's
that
Dominic
Monaghan.
Monaghan
in that one?
Yeah,
I always forget.
So.
Married.
For me, though, she's got something weird going on in her neck or trapezoidal region.
Dominic Monaghan is Charlie on Lost. That's not who she's married to, right?
I thought that's who she's married to.
Oh, I thought it, but, okay.
Yeah,
I'm
she's
sorry.
Married to him.
But he was Pippin, not Merry.
Then he's, hold well, on. What does it matter? It's that
I'm
dude.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. One of the fucking hobbits, Merry and Pippin, named Dominic Monaghan, who is on the show with her. That's who she's married to.
So okay. This would explain why I personally find her maybe a little bit elven looking in her facial features.
You know what? She is. She kind of has that same thing that Liv Tyler has going for her, although I think she's much more attractive than Liv Tyler.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No. Yeah, I think
well,
she is.
Liv, well, depends. Circa.
Circa when?
Okay. Circa stealing beauty? I don't think so. I think Liv Tyler's got her beat, my friend. I'm
anyway,
just saying.
Moving on.
All right, I'm going to move on to Dr. Allison Cameron on House MD, Jennifer Morrison.
Okay, definitely a hottie, but I think that walks a fine line in the geek. In the geek culture.
Now, why would you say that?
I find it to be a hospital drama. Not
oh,
really geek.
Oh, no, my friend. Obviously, you do not watch because there are fantastical elements to this.
I watch House every single week.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying that it qualifies as science fiction?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's leave it at that.
I think that's a bold statement.
No, let's leave it at that.
Okay.
Kevin thinks House is science fiction, and that's fine.
I think House can certainly be classified in the geek genre based on fantastical elements that take place on the show.
Okay.
It certainly is fantastical.
Now, I was hesitant to pick my next choice because I was afraid that I was going to be bashed for the show potentially not being in the geek culture. But after having someone from House on there.
Now you have a pass.
I can say Miss Cuthbert from 24.
No, that's not geek at all. I'm sorry.
Well, I thought that it was geek, but I thought that I might have some resistance there.
Now, can you explain to us why you think 24 qualifies as geek programming?
I think that's a little bit more science fiction-y than House is.
How so?
I don't think that there's any reality really in 24 at all.
Not an ounce, and that's why we love it.
Other than the fact that it happens to take place in what is supposed to be, you know, some sort of modern day time in the United States, I think that's about as realistically based as you get. I think everything else is kind of science fiction-y in one way, shape, or form.
Well, I think certainly we can pitch this out to the audience. Okay. Would you consider House or 24 more a part of the geek culture?
Okay.
And we'll see. So I'm not going to discount that one.
Okay.
But, okay, good.
So you're next.
I'm moving on. I'm going to pick Kerry Condon, who played Octavia on the HBO series Rome.
Okay. Okay.
She is hot.
She is hot.
Matt, would you mind going to your hand for your next woman?
I don't know if I want to go to my hand, but I will go to the next woman on my list, who happens to be Lucy Griffiths from the BBC show Robin Hood, which all of you know that I am enamored with that show. I think it is very, very good. And she plays Maid Marian. And I think that she is very hot and very attractive and very cute and belongs on this list.
I do not have her on my list.
I'll agree with you on that one, too. I'll vouch.
She's kind of cute and hot in that. It's kind of like girl next door, innocent kind of way. It's not like Trisha Helfer, you know, Battlestar Galactica, right. Stunning.
She bears
hot,
a very, very striking resemblance to Rachel Weisz, too, which is.
Yes. But a little bit. Not quite as
old.
No. Rachel Weisz is really kind of thin as a rail, maybe. And Lucy Griffiths, who plays Marian, I think is a little
fatty.
Bit more. No. But I think she's a little bit more.
Stealing
she's a little
Beauty,
bit more
though. No,
curvy
or not? No, which what was the one with Rachel Weisz?
The Fountain.
Not the Fountain. No,
she was in the Fountain.
The Mummy.
She was in Stealing Beauty as well. And
oh, she was.
I wouldn't consider her rail thin. At
I don't
point.
Think she was in Stealing Beauty.
I haven't seen Stealing Beauty, so
I'm trying to remember.
So there, I don't think
but
so.
She there's
Take
there's
me out of this.
Nothing left of the imagination in one particular scene.
Ah, right.
And she was. I mean, she wasn't
the shape of things.
But, pardon?
The Shape of Things.
The Shape of Things.
Right.
She was in that.
So that's.
I go through her whole repertoire.
So that would be my next choice.
All right. Fine. I'm going to go for my next choice. I'm going for the obvious one. Allison Hannigan, Willow from Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. I have Allison Hannigan on my list as well.
Of course you do.
You guys are both idiots.
Now,
why?
Why are we idiots?
Because she's... All right, she's cute. I'd like to get to know her better. But she does not belong in the league with the rest of these absolutely drop-dead beautiful women.
Why?
Because she's not drop dead beautiful.
You know what?
Says
but
you.
First of all,
yeah,
the category. First of all, the category is not drop dead beautiful women of geek culture. It's
hot women.
Hot women of geek culture.
And
I think that
hot.
She certainly is hot and has some sort of sexual appeal. Have you ever seen that spread she did? Was that for Maxim or
I think
Stuff?
It was
one of those.
It was one of
probably both.
You're probably looking at a picture from it right now.
I think
she's
really, really, really attractive,
for both,
actually.
Hey, I've seen Brooke Hogan and stuff, and even she looks good. So
she
they
looks
can
like
pretty
a
much
man.
Do anything.
Okay.
She looks a little too like daddy.
Ew.
He said ew.
All right. So we both have her on the list. So who do you have next?
Next, I have Christina. Is it Loken? Loken?
Kristanna Loken.
Is that Kristanna? Is that how it's pronounced?
Kristanna Loken.
Who is in the upcoming Painkiller Jane series for sci-fi, Painkiller
right.
Jane being a comic book.
So she's not actually in a geek series right now. Fantastic. I think we need a ruling. I think we need a ruling here.
We're going to defer to Ken on this one. Ken, what do you say to that?
Okay.
I think based on her being from Terminator 3 and
which
Blood
is not
Rain,
a TV show.
Which I know it's not a TV show, but because Painkiller Jane is what? It's like a week around a corner or something like that? I would say
I
yeah,
thought it was a fall program.
Not only that, but we are talking about we have mentioned I think at least you know we might have some people on this list that are not currently on television. So I would think that if they were on a show in the past and could qualify from this list, then if they're going to be on a show in the future, they could qualify for this list.
Gotcha.
Thus why I put her here.
I'm willing to drop all silly stipulations and say as long as she's hot. They're
oh,
in.
Yeah, but
They're
I'm
in.
The cop out guy.
What?
I give the cop out answer before because I said that Jewel State was hot on both the TV show and the movie.
Because
but
we
you're
said
dropping
choose,
all things so
choose,
that we can fit people in the list who aren't on science fiction TV shows yet. Well, I'm gonna pick Susie Anybody because she might be on a science fiction show.
But
that's
this
coming
isn't might.
Out.
This is definite. And do you have anybody on your list that's on a show that's no longer on the air?
Kev.
Define no longer on the air.
I don't know. Allison
Are
Hannigan from Buffy?
Buffy is in repeats somewhere in this country, so it's still on the air. Now what?
I'm willing.
Now what?
I'm
not
willing.
Current.
Guys,
not current.
Guys, 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 guys.
Please.
I'm pretty sure that you're both gay because you're missing the point of hot women.
I'm not missing the point of this at
in,
all.
They're in TV shows or they're in movies or it's focus
no, no.
on
they're
the
not
hot
in
women.
I'm not.
Movies.
I'm not missing
they're
the point at all. There are I think no, I have the point down very well.
Kevin
that's why
just
I
said that there are no.
Yeah, for this
I know.
List.
It must be hard to find a hat that fits that.
There
point.
Are
you know
no
what?
Hot
if you
want
to be technical and you're going to throw me under the bus, I believe if we went back to last week's episode, I think we did say current shows. So I think we both kind of fail on this list a little bit.
Okay, so if we're both going to fail on it, that's fine. She's not on a TV show that's on the air now.
Okay.
I'm willing to fail as long as the hot women
come.
We know, fantastic. We know.
So who else do you get?
All right. I have Holly Marie Combs from Charmed.
What color is she?
White? What does that matter?
Mark.
What color hair
fantastic,
is she?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Brown,
red.
Like the, all of them?
Right? She's kind of a...
She's not red.
She's kind of red.
No, there's one
straight,
that has...
dark hair.
There's one that has auburn hair.
No, that's what's her name?
There's Alyssa Milano, Rose McGowan,
Rose
Holly
McGowan.
Marie Combs.
Rose McGowan has the lighter hair.
The
there you go. Okay.
And it's not Alyssa Milano.
Right.
It's the other one.
Okay.
With the straight hair.
You've done a great job of
she
describing her to me.
Piper
she's
Halliwell.
Hot.
She is hot.
Yeah. Cool.
I think she's hot. Did you have her on your list?
I did not have her on my
all
list.
Right.
Is Charmed finished? Is that series
yes.
done and over
yes,
with?
Yes, it is.
I just want to make sure. I had, from another series that's done and over with, Jessica Alba from Dark Angel.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
That's a nice one. Good job. That's
I think he's I in rule. The lead so far.
Is he? Because he got one?
No.
Oh, my God. You are the most.
This is
where the most. You couldn't judge a Coke and Pepsi challenge because you are fucking retarded.
Oh, I think he's in the lead because he got one.
Shut up and stand there.
Someone's jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous. So, go ahead. Who else do you got?
It's your turn. It's your go.
Kristen Krayuk from Smallville. She plays Lana Lang.
Oh.
She is. She is a looker.
She is a looker. Uh-huh. She is pretty cute.
She's got nice eyes.
Yes, she does. Et cetera.
She eventually have powers in that?
I don't watch the program.
Oh, okay. was that a stipulation that you had
no.
to watch the program?
That
no,
was not
I don't
a stipulation.
That was a stipulation.
Anything to try to create shit so I'm wrong, right, Fantastic?
Because I'm going
to
be
judging
honest with
it
you.
Right down the middle,
I'm
huh?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that I'm going to watch Painkiller Jane, but she's certainly qualified for my list.
You and the rest of the country,
and
sadly.
And when Painkiller Jane gets canceled and doesn't make the air, what then?
I'm pretty positive it'll make the air, much like Blade made the air.
I
doesn't mean it has to stay on the air.
Blade made the air stink.
you definitely upped the bar with that, though. I think she has what it takes to go up against Jessica Alba.
Wow, that's a pretty bold assertion.
Wow.
I think I got it beat, though.
You do.
Of totally.
Let's hear it.
No. It's Matthew's turn.
Okay. Next on my list, just going down the no particular order again.
Right.
I had Sarah Michelle Gellar from Buffy.
Okay. Now,
I did not
her.
Have her on my list.
Did you see the reaction from the women in the room? They made the cosi hand the and that's kind of my reaction too. I know she's hot and she's got a rack, right?
Right. Sorta.
But I don't know how she looks today. I've seen some things of her
seen,
in
like,
magazines
the
recently.
Grudge or...
And I think she's kind of letting herself go.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
Have you seen The Grudge? Or was she was just in another horror flick, too.
The Grudge
was it
2.
There was another one besides The Grudge 2.
The Grudge
there,
3?
No. There was another one that she was just in recently.
Revenge
wasn't
of the Grudge.
Wasn't another remake or something like that?
The Grudge Strikes Back. The
Grudge Strikes Back. Ew.
This fucker still got a grudge.
Let it go already.
I think that's Grudge 4. Let it go already. Okay. I mean, that's kind of the gimme going for Buffy, and she's a good looking chick and all that. But all right. Yeah.
She played the voice of April O'Neil.
She did in the Turtles film. I knew
yeah.
That.
Right. Which isn't TV, as we know. So let's move along. Now I got two left. I got I got one really good one, and I have one. I have one that's kind of the bonus one. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna give the bonus one now.
Okay.
Chloe Annette.
Okay. Who?
She played Kachansky on Red Dwarf.
Oh my God! Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That would be the original Kachansky. I'm guessing.
I think
right?
so. I think so.
And like seasons one, and maybe even season two.
Yeah, Kachansky. She did some layouts in the UK, FHM UK, and stuff. I found some pictures. You're probably looking at one right about now.
All right.
So there, beat that.
Well, that was your throwout, right? So you're holding somebody
I'm
back.
I got it right here.
Like the secret?
This is the secret one right here.
Okay. I don't know. I have two left as well, and I don't know which one to throw. I want to save one for your going. I'm going to go with Elijah Dushku, also from Buffy, from True Calling, from, you know, I'm sure some other sci-fi show to be out sometime soon.
Yeah, there's a winner.
Definitely decent. For me, Eliza, she was in True Lies, right? She was the daughter, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So she was underage then, but I'm pretty sure I was too, so that's okay.
So that's okay.
And even then, you could tell she was going to be really hot, and it turned out to be true.
Like Emma Watson.
What?
Emma Watson is a good-looking girl.
You know, I used to think he was joking, but then I was on his computer earlier. We were trying to look up some stuff to talk about for next week, and I saw that he's got the Emma Watson birthday countdown clock running as a widget on his Mac.
No, get out.
What? I like to follow the birthdays of people who I enjoy.
He's into astrological science.
Enjoy, do you?
Whew. When I'm alone.
No, but Kev, you are right about that.
About what?
You can tell. It's like the Olsen twins. I mean, come on, they were little
babies. They look like aliens.
You're like, these kids are going to be hot.
Yeah, no, not really.
But they turned out to be aliens.
Come on.
You paint them gray?
Well, no one looked at Jodie Sweetin and went, hubba hubba, she's going to be something in the day.
No, but she was unexpected. It doesn't bar you from ever becoming hot. It's just it's a pretty good sign.
Can we move on?
Yes. I want to know who your last one. I want to know who the one you've saved is.
Ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Sydney Bristow. Jennifer Garner from Alias. Booyah.
I actually did have her on my list originally, and I crossed her off.
Because you couldn't think of a TV show that she had been on?
No, I knew she did Alias.
Okay.
But I went with somebody else.
Well, wait, are we going to discuss this one?
Oh,
before
no, yeah, I'm sorry.
Roll
I'm sorry.
Out
let's,
yours?
Let's discuss it.
Fantastic. I'm sure you want to criticize my choice, so let's have it.
I can't. Because as far as I'm concerned, she's pretty much the total package.
Thank you.
Is she not?
I believe she is.
She's got the body. You can tell she's got a really good personality.
Uh-huh.
She would like to go out to eat, night of dancing, maybe a little sushi.
She's a fun girl.
Long walks on the beach.
Yeah, right? She, you know, she can be your friend when you need her and then take care of you when you need it.
Unbelievable. But he's backing me, so I can't even say anything.
It's all you.
Does it beat Jessica Alba?
Well, in terms of hotness, I don't think so.
Okay.
But if you rate all the categories... The 15 categories of women, which we won't go over now, and you added up the points, I think she would come out the all-time point leader thus far in our competition.
Excellent. All right.
Excellent.
I'm happy with that. What are you going to finish up with?
I saved for last Christina Hendricks, Saffron from Firefly.
Take my love, take my land. Take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Very attractive. very attractive. Also, I get the impression that she has probably a very good personality. From what I've read about the other people who have met her, worked with her, she seems to have a very good personality. She seems to get along with everybody. And I thought she definitely belonged on this list.
Wait, is she the redhead?
She's
wife?
The redhead, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking somebody else.
Yeah, she's the female manipulator who gives him the kiss on the lips that poisons him, right? She is really hot.
I know. That's why I picked her for this list.
Yeah, and yeah, the female in the room is right. She has very big titties. But they're the kind that are like almost perfectly round, and you can see that they're like growing as you're looking at them, but not growing in a bad way or in the wrong directions. Just becoming more dense and larger at the same time.
I think the idea of having Fantastic be the judge on this
is a great idea.
Spot on idea.
I think when we host this challenge next time and we go for movies instead of television, he definitely will have to judge again.
It's such a moot challenge.
I was joking.
I don't know anything about movies anyway.
So much as it's a discussion.
You go right to Scarlett Johansson in The Island, and what's the competition?
Now, her breasts are comparable to Saffron's.
You think so?
Yeah.
Huh.
I really do. So, who do you have in your corner right now? Jennifer Garner. And who do you have right now?
Christina Hendricks.
Well, I think if you're going top draw, I think you had to go with what's her name, right?
Oh, are we going with just top draw? Or are we going with this last round?
Jessica Alba. Ben,
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Rochambeau.
That's your solution, is Rochambeau.
It's a tie, guys. Everyone wins. We all got to think of some really hot women who are on TV tonight.
And there's lots of pictures up on the website and on your iPod.
Will this be the most pictures ever? Because the most pictures ever is a high bar to hit right now. It's like 100 pictures in a podcast, which you may have set a record for.
Really?
I've never downloaded a podcast with 100 pictures in it.
Nice.
Yes.
But this one is going to be worth it.
Because it'll have chicks in it.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you, Fantastic. You're so wise.
I think all of his wisdom comes from the muffin top hairdo.
I think all of his wisdom could fit in a thimble. And with that, we'll be right back with the wrap-up. Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we're back with episode 53 of Geek Stuff Physical. In honor of Fantastic's headband and Olivia Newton-John physical hairdo.
I think we should just call him the Muffin Man from now on.
Now, Matthew.
Man, the Muffin Man.
Don't forget the leg warmers.
Man.
Oh, I forgot the leg warmers. Again, I can't see the leg warmers from where I'm sitting, so I forget that you're wearing
them. I got the ripped jeans.
Oh, you do. Sexy.
Oh, my God.
So what the hell did we talk about?
We talked about David Duchovny apparently being crazy and wanting to do and talking about a potential X-Files 2 movie and how it's just a bad idea.
They should have made a first movie.
Yeah,
they did.
But it was terrible. They should go back and make the first movie again.
And speaking of terrible...
And make it
good. Did you want to go? I'm sorry.
Are we going to go one for one?
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Depends on how much material you have.
Marvel's original hero, Namor the Submariner, will be returning in yet another solo series coming from Nobody's Peter Johnson, Matt Cheris as writers, and artist Phil Briones. And nobody cares.
The I don't care, Mariner. There's some rumors floating around the UK right now that Brett Ratner is going to be the man who destroys the Wolverine film if it is indeed true that he is the director. I can't believe it to be true. I don't think that Hugh Jackman would allow it to happen, having as much invested in the project as he does, being one of the producers on the project, and knowing how much the fans hated Brett Ratner doing X-Men 3 because he pretty much killed the franchise as far as most people are concerned. So I hope that it's just a rumor and it's just those wacky Brits writing whatever the hell they want.
Ratner is to X-Men as Schumacher is to Batman.
Bat-nipples, yes. Mm.
Some charming Batman products coming from DC Direct in November include Batman Black and White Statue by Jim Lee, which you can put along with the rest of your Batman black and white statues. Also, a brand new Batman Classic 13-inch collector figure featuring his gray and blue suit, accessories, and a display stand. Also releasing in November, the Batgirl 13-inch deluxe collector's figure in two versions, her gray fabric costume as well as her black one with accessories and display stands as well.
Is it my turn again? That means I didn't get the noose around my neck fast enough. Shit.
That was good.
Helen Mirren will be playing in the sequel to National Treasure, Book of Secrets, starring Nicolas Cage, starring John Voight, Diane Kruger, Justin Bartha, and Harvey Keitel will also be in the film. The original director returns to the film. Bruckheimer produces. And that's it.
Not a terrible thing other than Nick Cage. It sounds like a great cast of people other than Nick Cage.
Sure.
And it was, you know, it was a bit him-centered, but, you know, the surrounding cast. And Christopher Plummer also was in the first one as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there was a lot of really cool stuff. So, actually, that's not such terrible news. However, what is terrible news, following the unparalleled success of Marvel Zombies vs. Army of Darkness, issue 2 came out last week, we will get Dynamite Entertainment and Marvel joining forces on Spider-Man Red Sonja by Mike Oeming and Mel Ruby, with covers by Mike Turner, the cover whore for Marvel.
And speaking of Spider-Man, this past week, Tobey Maguire and Kirsten, if my forehead gets any bigger, I might tip forward Dunst, has said that if Sam Raimi continues on and agrees to do a Spider-Man 4, they too will join and keep the team together. Avi Arad from Marvel has already said that he wants to do a fourth film, so it seems like almost everything is in place. There just has to be a good storyline.
A couple of book releases last week include the Hellboy novel, The Dragon Pool, by Christopher Golden. Fallen Sun, The Death of Captain America, the Wolverine issue, which is the first of five to be followed by Avengers, Captain America, Spider-Man, and Iron Man.
A Marvel.
Which...
Go ahead. A Marvel book Kev almost likes.
I did almost like it. It was written by Jeff Loeb and illustrated by Lanil Yu.
Hey, Kev, which stage of grief is that one, by the way?
That would be denial. Denial, as they are following the stages of grief, as we said last week. Also from akacomics.com, issue one of Stickman. The Miscellaneous Adventures of Stickman has hit the newsstands. I'm going to go ahead and give you that copy, Matt, because I've read it and I've had enough.
Okay.
And finally from Berkeley Breathed or Breathed or Breithead, or however you pronounce it, the guy that created Bloom County and Opus and Bill the Cat and all those crazy characters. Mars Needs Mommies, a hardcover children's book where the lead character is a small blonde boy based on Berkeley's own son.
What's that called for the record? Book.
Mars Needs Moms.
Okay.
I said mommies, right?
That's all right.
So I make sure you point out my mistake.
Well, we just want to do the author a service. We don't want people going to Amazon looking for mommies.
I'm just so easy. I'm just going to let it go.
May 29th of this year, finally, the Superman collection will be coming back to the shelves, this time with the correct DVDs in them. For those of you that don't know, there were some errors with some of the discs that were in the set when it was originally released. You can probably go to warnerbrothers.com to get some information on if the swap program is still around. And yeah, so check that out, May 29th.
On DVD last week, the only disc we could remotely tie to this show was Black Christmas, the unrated version out on DVD. And one of the reasons you might want to check it out, because it's unrated, because there's lots of hot chicks in it, fantastic, including hotties Michelle Trachtenberg and Lacey Chabert. Oodalali, unrated, could be naked.
What TV show was she in?
Which one?
Lacey Chabert.
She was in Party of Five.
Oh, okay.
She was the little sister.
So her last name is Chambert?
No, it's Chabert.
Okay.
It's French, tool.
And what I can only hope and pray was nothing more than an April Fool's Day hoax. Warner Brothers made an announcement, in quotes, that Paris Hilton was going to be taking up the role of Supergirl in the upcoming Supergirl film, which I can only assume would be shite, whether it's rumor or not.
Super suck. I liked her work in One Night in Paris.
I know you
did.
And
not so much in Waxworks. Ugh, I forgot to mention... that coming out last week from DC Direct was the Batman black and white statue designed by Matt Wagner. It's a pretty good looking piece. It'll look fine against the rest of your collection. He's kind of holding his cape up high like he's some sort of champion or something. So check that out from DC Direct.
Are you done? Adam Sandler has sold his soul to Disney. He'll be doing a live-action film coming out sometime next year called Bedtime Stories, in which he plays a real estate developer who tells bedtime stories to his niece and nephew, and he ends up in those bedtime stories, and chaos and unfunniness ensues.
And
I'm
after
sure.
that, he'll be in Jungle Cruise, the motion picture.
Right. As a hippo. In addition, Warner Brothers has announced that they will be doing a Metal Men flick. It will be written by the genius that brought us Mr. 3000. Eddie, was that other one? Eddie, he starred in McHale's Navy. I think that's about it. We also have Mayor Bloomberg getting his panties in a bunch over the upcoming Grand Theft Auto 4. Is it fantastic? Saying that New York City is too closely resembled to
Liberty City.
Yeah, Liberty City. So,
in segment two
Dose.
Tonight, we discussed Ugly Dolls, a series of designer plush type figures that are safe for any age. They were designed, they first released in 2002. They now sell them all over the place. They're catching on with kids and adults, and they're good for babies. Everybody can like them. They have 12-inch plush, 7-inch little uglies, 24-inch giant uglies, 4-inch plush keychains, and 7-inch vinyl uglies. And there's a variety of characters. All the characters have some sort of relations. They each come with a little card to talk about those relations. They're really they're very simple, but they're very fun. And they are really, really all age inclusive. You get right down from little tiny babies all the way up to big babies like Fantastic.
In the third segment of our show, we talked about our list of hot chicks in geek related television shows or some shit. I can't even remember what the name of the segment was anymore at this point.
Hot geek TV chicks.
I think we've decided it was a
hot TV
cheap way to put a lot of pictures of half-naked, hot, geeky women on the website.
So there you have it.
Agreed.
That would be this episode of Geek Stuff numero 53. Oh, no. We talked about one other thing tonight. Ken. Oh. Sad Kermit.
Yes. We talked about Sad Kermit. He's awesome. MySpace.com/SadKermit and listen to some really funny versions of Radiohead songs. I love it.
Yes.
And there you have it. Episode 53. Tune in next week for episode 54.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Get your physical.